Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So fair vote.
Evil humans.
It's evil. It was very evil. I mean, the apartheid system, we are all human in front of the eyes of God. But what fair vote did, it was a turning point for South Africa, and it was a turning point for the world, because the whole world had to be aware of something that was never seen before. I mean, remember, we came from the painful past. We came from colonialism.
Absolutely.
And then after colonialism, now we get into apartheid, which was something that was created by humankind.
Right.
So it brings those old memories, you know, to say we've come a very long way. Now, the million-dollar question that stands is whether are we a nation yet? Every time we should ask ourselves, when the state president goes to parliament to address the nation and say state of the nation address, we should ask ourselves questions. Are we a nation yet? Or we should ask ourselves, are we a rainbow nation? How do we define rainbow nation if till this day of age we still experience bigotry, racism, you name it, all of that? It's because of apartheid.
Well, doesn't that go back to that question that I was asking before about the TRC? Because maybe because we rushed it and we wanted to get it done so that we could call ourselves the Rainbow Nation, that we actually didn't really talk about some of the very painful things that we should have been speaking about. And we kind of wanted to rush through the unpleasant part to get to the fun part.
Yeah.
But actually, because we didn't, we keep going back, as you say, to racism and bigotry.
Yeah.
And it's
chauvinism.
It's still there. We can pretend it isn't, but it's there. And isn't that because we've never really opened that wound to wash it out properly?
It's quite very, very, very sad. Because going back to the issue of the TRC, as I've said earlier, that the Truth and Reconciliation Commission hasn't done enough. Now, it depends who has come forward to reconcile, who's the reconciler and the reconcilee. For example, I would say the people who were involved in the struggle, particularly those who committed atrocities in the name of the struggle, they were not treated the same at the TRC, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Right up till today, there are people who are fighting for this democracy and freedom that we are enjoying today. They are still languishing in jail. They are still behind bars. There are members of liberation movements, for example, I will name like the Pan-Africanist Congress. I mean, they still talk about these things, that they are freedom fighters, they're still languishing in jail, they're not yet being released. It's because, I mean, those people, they were found guilty of some certain brutal atrocities. The same applies to the people who are working for the security police system. But now, the sad part about it, the very same people that participated in those brutal atrocities never came before the Truth Commission. And I want to go back to what the listener said. They were never prosecuted, even up till today. Now, the question is this. Does our justice system have that capacity, the power? Like what we are seeing today, the Nuremberg trial is still ongoing.
Yeah.
The Jews, they still go around the whole world tracking down.
They're still tracking down. 100%.
The Nazis, they're still tracking
because
down.
Because it's the only way people can get closure. That they know that the suffering that they endured, that somebody is being held responsible
Absolutely.
For it. Even if it's 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 years later. And that's the only way that... In fact, you know, if I can share my own experience, my grandparents are Holocaust survivors.
Oh, yeah.
They were persecuted in Germany. My great-grandparents were murdered in concentration camps.
Yeah.
When I go to Berlin and I see that there's a commemoration of families on the sidewalk, it's a little brass thing and it says which Jewish family lived here and was murdered. And you go, you look at a Holocaust museum. I actually don't feel anger. I feel as though Germany, certainly in Berlin, has accepted and taken responsibility
Absolutely.
For people are named, they've been held accountable, and I can feel at peace.
Absolutely.
If we don't have that here in South Africa, how are we ever going to find peace? How is the black community in South Africa ever going to find peace unless people are held responsible. It's properly commemorated. The heroes of the struggle are not ignored, like we're seeing happened in Alex. It's unbelievable. It's frustrating to see this, because there is an alternative. Craig is gesturing to me. He wants to play something important.
Okay.
Yes. Apartheid in practice means that while blacks are often in white areas as workers, whites are seldom in black areas, except as police and officials. How can you understand people with whom you have no contact in their own surroundings?
Community Connect. History, memory, society.
Welcome back. It is Alex FM coming side by side with Chai FM. Montu Gambanjwa and Howard Feldman co-hosting the show. And of course, our guest in the studio talking to Dr. Deborah Daki Rametsi, the former struggle stalwart. He's talking to us. He's taking us down the memory lane of the 1976 student uprising in Alex, June 18. Brother Daki, I want you to take us a little bit backwards, back in the days before you became a school teacher. Take us through during the days as a student leader, as a former student leader of the Alexander Student League. Am I correct?
It was already on the 76 issue.
Yeah, I want us to take us through before you were already a teacher by then. Being a leader of the Alexander Student League. Take us through back in the days of the Alexander Student League. What was the Alexander Student League all about? What were you fighting for? Let's talk about this so that we narrate this story to today's generation. There was once an Alexander Student League. What was it all about? And what were you guys fighting for? What was the objective there?
You know, that Muntu, thanks very much. I don't know if, like I normally say, this is due to me being a Lemba, you know, and Lembas, there's that anger of separation from another person. We hate separate development.
Yes.
So clashes like Ntokozweni, Tabiso, Mbuitumelo, you see that?
Yes.
Where the youth mostly used to frequent to play whatever, there would also be plays that would be politically inclined, but not exposed that this is political. You know,
in other words, it was hidden. It was.
Yes.
It happened beneath the surface.
Yes, I mean, you find that we have a play where, for instance, a police will arrest a mom with a baby at the back, and fighting that not to happen, and the policeman using vulgar on the poor lady and all those things. And these sometimes you find being shown at those youth centers. So I don't want to say that contributed anything. I mean that. But we had those plays that were saying, this is not good, this is not healthy, we don't like this. And making people aware. And normally when towards the closing of the crèches during the festive season, that's where we'd present this place.
So it was a way of showing that the system that is happening is unacceptable.
Exactly.
Right.
But we had to do it very, very
carefully.
Or else.
Right, yeah, because
like they used to say the poor person dance.
Whoa.
Yes.
So was there a great fear of informants within the township?
Yes.
So that must have been a real thing to live with. We'll be back just after this.
The government's view on apartheid is accepted by many whites because of the information they're allowed to receive. The government controls radio and television and makes sure that its views are heard more powerfully than those of anyone else. As a South African broadcaster has said, with propaganda, you never let up.
This is Community Connect, commemorating the Alex Student Massacre of 1976.
It's 10 past the hour of 11, and we're talking about the information, the lack of information, the fact that there were informants in Alex as well, and that all must have made life very, very scary. Who do you trust and who don't you trust?
You see, that's one of the things that if you look at the political vacuum, since the unbanning of the political organization and the 1976, you will see that there was a lot of vacuum, political vacuum there.
Oh, yes.
You see?
Yeah.
And some people were fortunate enough, you know, to reach Radio Freedom on the radio that you'd have it at about 12 o'clock at night and listen.
Right.
And some would not have that, you see. So I'm happy also when I heard Muntu saying that they're going to have King Bunga.
Yeah.
King Bunga, every time he sees me, he says, "When I said, usang kolot, umela pe stadium, atresatina." You know, he likes to say that.
Yeah, bringing those memories back.
Bringing those memories,
yeah.
You know, to say that there is a contributory role that I played. Though I don't see it as that. Like I said, possibly it is the lumber in me that used to make me to say, it's unacceptable. I don't have to be called. I don't have to be invited. I've got to go in if this is how I can contribute.
Dr. Ramesh, just take us through on that fateful day, June the 18th. Where were you when the whole thing started? Where were
I was a teacher and we were at school.
Yeah.
And when one of our staff members came in from the office and saying, "Today it's in Alex."
Uh-huh.
Then it was like, "What do you mean it's in Alex?"
Yeah.
He says, "The phone has been cut off." So the phone to the office, outside it was, when we went outside, we said, "Yes, it has been cut off here." So we knew, we don't know where it's going to come from, but we knew that 16, it's coming to now, 18, it's coming to Alexandra.
Uh-huh.
Then it wasn't long, then we had a big bee hives coming from Bovet, the old Bovet at 16.
Yeah, 16, yes, yeah.
Kids singing. While you are looking at that, trying to tell our own children now to say, "Go into the class." Then there was the group that came from Pulusho side.
Uh-huh.
Coming this side, also singing. And, you know, the slogan was not Amandla, it was not whatever. The slogan was power.
Black power.
Yes, black power came late.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
Initially it was power. And there were kids with board, they are away with Africans.
Yeah.
You see? And the sad part or the interesting part, I was teaching Africans 82.
No.
Interesting.
That's an admission.
Okay. Yes.
Did that detract from your credibility? That's what I wanted to know.
No, not at all.
No, I'm joking.
Not at all.
How good were you by then? Because, I mean, it was new. I mean, it was introduced, very, 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 very.
Yes.
Very. So how did you go about it?
Some of us, because we're still young teachers from college and universities, we used to be very aggressive, because I remember, if I'm not mistaken, there was this inspector, white inspector by the name of Smith, if I'm not wrong, I think it was Mr. Smith, and previously he was from then Southwest Africa. So when he came to Joburg, and we tried to talk to him and say, "Look, guy, you say you want us to teach maths in Afrikaans, you want us to teach science in Afrikaans."
Jeez.
And
sweet Jesus.
And few years back, I'm sure less than 3 or 4 years back, you people were celebrating Afrikaans 100 years. So that language is still developing. Now, what terminology are we going to teach with those kids?
Absolutely. Yeah. You probably didn't even have, there probably wasn't even the full range of language.
No.
Not that's the point anyway. The point is, why would you, you know, it was just another form of oppression.
Yeah, it was. And then, you know, he said, "No, don't forget that, you know, the Afrikaans people are more than the English, and then so they're paying more tax for you black people."
Wow.
Then, you know, during the engagement, we said, "But we never asked you to pay more tax than us."
Yeah.
And so some of us were already earmarked as, you know,
Troublemakers.
You see.
So on that fateful day, everything was just a mess.
Yes.
Everybody was scattered all over the show.
Yes.
And then later on, bro, like, what happened? By then, children were coming from different avenues, different schools. Then where was the memorandum? Where was the targeted place? Where were the students heading to?
I think earlier then,
yeah,
they were removing children out of classes. Then they would target the so-called institutions of Afrikaans. As it was seen that, for instance, you look at, remember we had Barbier and those bars.
Yeah.
We had the police, especially the peri-urban area health board inspectors, mm-hmm. who were the then police. Mm. You see? Mm-hmm. So those were the targets that were now kids were going to. Because inside Alex, we did not have a school education offices. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. It was only the one at Skien on top, which it was a board, school board offices, mm-hmm. but not like where we have the white people inside.
Oh.
Yes.
Sure. And unfortunately, that is all we have time for. Thank you for taking the time to come into studio, for chatting
much
to us. It's just phenomenal to hear the a first-hand account on what happened on this day.
Yep.
We've asked our respective listeners, how much do you know about the Alex massacre of 1976? And this is what you answered.
This is Community Connect, commemorating the Alex student massacre of 1976.
My name is Kim Fine. I'm from Glen Hazel. I don't know much about the Alex massacre. I don't know what caused it. In 1976, I was 11 years old. All I remember was that there was a mass exodus from South Africa. Many South Africans left after that time.
My name is Sandy Leswana. In 1976, I was a young learner at Sesepo Primary School in White City, Jabavu. And during the entirety of the 1970s, I never visited Alex. In fact, I started visiting Alex in the 1990s and when I was working for the New York Times. I never heard of, I have never, up until quite now, in fact this year, that I hear of the Alex massacre of June 18, 1976. I did not know about it, I've never studied about it.
What is a massacre? It's the 18th of June 1976. Yoking into a Hushulabu Mangmo, Hagopol Vasubeka and Putakanto, even in my history book, Akopoliki Valaka, a massacre at Zahatanko Alexi, Ka 1976, 18th June. Akizib,
18th June 1976, Alexander. I call. There's nothing like that. Angiazi, Leo. I am Sambas Kazala Padmina, Angiazi in 20 Alex,
318, Wabita. Wayaqalisa wethu from Soweto yasizala abantwana abaphuma esikolweni bathatha amabhasi lapha erenkeni bebhidliza zonke iy'tolo zabaqhamuka ngaphandle babhidliza bebhidliza ngamabhasi kusho ukuthi amabhasi akaphatot kwakuyi-transport ngoba yiyona bakade bedemolisha ngayo ama-building and then bese bekhipha ney'moto zazibanjwa ezizodiliva babeyibamba bakhiphe konke lokhu abakuthwela babeke phansi abantu bathathe kwafa kodwa abantu abaningi abantwana kakhulu ngoba amaphoyisa athi makafika namahipho wabo babeshaya nge-tear gas bashaya ngisho nangebhamu babatrabha nangamanye nangezimvu hhayi kwakungobekayo.
Vincent Ndima, President of Alexander Parliament, June 18, 1976. Children from different schools in Alexander decided to go to the streets, fighting the introduction of Afrikaans as a medium of instruction in black schools. So now it was a continuation of the fight that had happened on June 16 in Soweto. Now we decided to take a stand as Alex people and say, "Uti, enough is enough. We are not going to take these Afrikaans into our schools. We rather have isiZulu or isiTswana as our own languages that we are going to use in our schools, not this language that is being forced on us." Am I happy with the education system that is here? Yes, the policies and everything are correct, but the people that need to enforce these things are people that are lazy. They're only there to collect checks and to make sure that their children go to private schools. The quality of education is something that we are still striving and fighting for. Aluta.
The public relations officer ya Amster Taxi Association se ke se hopolang ka yona June 18 Alexander Massacre. Even though I was not yet born by then, ke ile ka dirang ya kesišo ke kwele gore gwa le go ba le uprising ka Soweto. A day later gwa ba le kopano ya ma-student ka mo Alexander ka mo Stadium on Sir Alexander, whereby we will walk on the next day, on the 18th, Lebanon Claudia and uprising Kamu Alexander, Hassanon Leona, the Tutoka, Lonal Lemela Africans and English, whereby Obon Chafaore, Kalonal Chajli will also go follow and the position ya Mobatuko Fijingiona, Hona, Kikwa. First to go around to my lawyer, and you will have a cash bill to my lawyer, and the Regisua, the livestock on a moon, the Gilead for the community of Alexander.
This is Jan from Centurion. I'm sad to say that I didn't know anything about the Alex massacre. I knew about the Soweto uprising that started on the 16th of June in 1976, and I knew that it wasn't just in Soweto. I knew that it was a countrywide thing. You know, there was a spark and it ignited in Soweto after the nationalist government at the time said that certain subjects needed to be taught in Afrikaans.
My name is Dina. I'm from Hyde Park. And what I know of the Alex massacre of 1976 is basically nothing. Obviously, we've all heard of Soweto uprising of 1976, but I don't think any of us or many of us have heard of the Alex massacre of 1976.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson. I was thinking about the Alexander massacre. I actually could not believe how little I knew about it. We were living in Germiston at the time. I had a young family. I never saw anything about it in any of the newspapers at all. And I'm shocked to think of at least 34 people, many of them school children, some as young as 13, actually being mowed down by the police. And we were unaware. And I asked myself, you know, were we deliberately unaware, or was it because there was just this complete block out of any news? Thank God we live in this world, in this era now, where news filters through immediately and there are no more excuses for violence, for hatred. And I thank God that my children are actually being brought up, and my grandchildren, to know the truth and to do something about it.
Community Connect. History, memory, society.
But why should children become involved in a political protest? And why now? Listen to the views of one of the new adult leaders in Soweto, Dr. Manus Buthelezi.
Remember that there is a basic difference between this younger generation and the generation of their parents, in that these students are the products of Bantu education. Most of us were raised in an educational system which, even though it had its own shortcomings, but took as a presupposition a common South African society. So you were educated in order to fit in this common society. But these students have been raised in the framework of Bantu education, where they have been told that they are being educated for a place in their own community, a place which is politically circumscribed through the policy of separate development.
The children exposed the sham. The integrated society of which their parents dreamed had disappeared. Under separate development, whites educated their children properly and for nothing. Blacks paid for their children's apprenticeship in servitude.
This is Community Connect with Alex FM and Chai FM. One community, one soul.
It was huge, it was angry, it was drawing near.
It is 11:24. In 1974, under the apartheid government, the Minister of Bantu Administration and Development, M.C. Botha, issued a decree that made the use of Afrikaans as a medium of instruction in black schools compulsory from Standard 5 and onwards. Over the next 2 years, and under the oppressive apartheid regime, black society in South Africa became a pressure cooker of tension. And then the 1976 student protests were officially protesting Afrikaans as a language, but the language was just one aspect of Bantu education enforced by the apartheid regime. I'm Howard Feldman from Chai FM, and I'm joined with my co-host Muntu Mjibanwa from Alex FM, and we're talking about the events of 1976. Can we go back to that issue about whether Afrikaans in of itself was that the issue, or was that just a spark that this whole bomb was waiting for in order to explode? What's your thoughts on it?
It was indeed an issue. Apart from Afrikaans being an issue, also quality education was the main issue here. That was the main issue. Quality education, as I said earlier on, that when we started schooling, we had no formal schooling. It was just you would attend math schools. Then from attending math schools, you'll go to attend your higher institution at the church. So there were no proper structures for schools by then. So it went on and on, as I'm saying by now, that even today, we still have the very same
problem.
And we're
still living with the legacy.
This is the legacy of the past we're still living in. As we can see, we can attest, we still have pit toilets, we still have math schools, so 100%. It's still a long way to go. So now, as I said, that it was a turning point indeed, that South Africans, we need indeed quality education that is sustainable.
And of course, the lack of education denial of education is a form of oppression. We know that, because there's no better way to try and oppress people than by keeping them ignorant.
Absolutely.
So this spoke to every aspect of the apartheid government.
Yeah.
What was your story? Where were you during this time?
During the day, I think on that fateful day I was around, I remember, because I almost at the main entrance where you get into LX. Mm. So I think when it happened, we just came back from school. I think I was on my younger years then.
Right.
And we came back from school, and we were taken out. Elder students, older students, older than us from high schools, came to our schools. I think I was attending Polish primary school by then. Yeah, so we saw this group of guys coming to our school, telling us that, look, we are going to join the march, the protest.
Right.
And then whilst we were marching along the streets, you know,
yes,
that's when we started to see the security police coming through the townships, starting to shoot tear gas and all of that, because now children are frustrated. Sure. And now, you know, you could see that the anger was rising up, you know. And then people started to ban everything that had to do with the government. As Dr. Ramit has alluded, bottle stores were banned, because many people believed then that these bottle stores, in fact, they were meant to destroy a black man's life. So they had to be destroyed. Patco buses were burned down. Government structures were burned down. You know, everybody was all over the show. And then from there, we went late. We came back, and that's when they started the lootings. I remember we had Second Avenue. There was a bottle store there. It's still a heritage site, so we were there. So I mean, by then we were very young. We did not know what to do with the alcohol that was looted by people. My uncles were the forefront, looting money and alcohol and all of that stuff. And then the security police all of a sudden came.
But
now what I've observed on that fateful day, you know, what many females, particularly mothers and women who were shot, it was never documented. Even today, as we speak, that we are talking of 22 people that were killed.
Yeah.
Out of these 22 people that were killed, there's more. The number is more than that, because some people that were there, they will tell you that there were more bodies that were counted at the Alexandra clinic by then, before it was called
They were
more dead bodies that were counted. So the number might be more than that. Wow. But that's the estimation that 22 people, that their bodies were found. But as I said, I'm talking about those bodies that bodies that disappeared, bodies that were never found, bodies that were buried somewhere in unmarked graves.
Absolutely.
So there's still more than that. And, yeah, and also, 45 people were injured. Out of these 45 people that were injured, we are also looking at people who were, there were people who were participators, were participating, and there were those who were onlookers, and there were those who were helping those people who were shot. I'm talking about the numbers far more than that, people that were injured. I'm talking about people who would be bystanders, teachers, nurses, taxi drivers, business people, ordinary people on the ground, people who were making sure that they would carry everybody who was caught up in this mayhem, rushing them to the Alex clinic. So it was a whole range of people playing different roles at a time.
And I want to come back to that, because because this is the picture that we are trying to understand what the day looked like.
Bantu education, separate education for blacks, was set in motion by Dr. Fafod when Minister of Native Affairs. In 1954, he made the following statement: "When I have control over native education, I will reform it so that the natives will be taught from childhood that equality with Europeans is not for them."
Community Connect. History, memory, society.
Right now, it is 11:34, and I am Howard Feldman in a studio with Muntu Banjwa and from Alex FM, and we are talking about the Alex massacre that took place on the 18th of June 1976. And I was asking Muntu his story. The one of the things that you were saying before the break that I found so disturbing is that we list the victims as 22, but you're saying that there's no way that was even the
case. It's more than that. I don't think everybody was
accounted for. Mm-hmm.
But those who were there, who saw it all, they would attest to that, that it's more than that. But for now, the stats are telling us that it's 45 people that were injured, 22 people that were killed.
Right.
And another of 22, we'll see from the list how many female and how many males were injured.
Right.
And then 45 were injured. So this is one of the most significant moments to talk about the Alex massacre. Because this is an untold story, as many of our listeners will allude to the fact that it's the first time they hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very grateful and to have this kind of a conversation to our listeners, wherever they are, wherever they are at, to get the whole story as to what happened, what transpired on that fateful day of June 18, 1976, whereby 22 young people were maimed, killed, and 45 were brutally injured by the apartheid police. So we take you down the memory lane of 1976, June 18, Alex massacre.
And, of course, what we are going to be doing is we're going to be asking you to stand and observe a moment of silence for those who were killed and those who lost their lives on this day, on the 18th of June, 1976. We're going to read the names, and I ask you to say a prayer, a silent prayer, and a moment of thought for all of those who lost their lives. James Mbali, 15 years old.
Mtemba Mzinani, 27 years old, body was found after the crowd dispersed, died at the age of 27.
Boy Charles Mazomba, 18 years old, gunshot wound while allegedly sabotaging a railway line before he fled from a constable who shot him.
Derek Mlocho, age 23, died on the 14th, 1976, multiple bullet wounds to chest.
Kuta Nkobo, 16 years old, gunshot wounds.
Alex Nziye, 16 years of age, died gunshot wound in the lung.
Norman Kunene, 27 years old, shot.
Eric Laka, died at the age of 58. He died of multiple wounds to stomach.
Atwell Jinkana.
Shadrach Kikana, age 12. The cause of death undisclosed.
Godfrey Mahapo, 13 years old, cause of death undisclosed.
S. Musunyane, 32 years of age, the cause of death undisclosed.
Sipho Mavimbela, 17 years old, cause of death undisclosed.
Sipho Mavimbela is the one that Babutwala spoke about. Mm. He also died at the age of 17. And then we have Felix Mhlongo, age undisclosed, and he died of gunshot wounds in the heart and the spinal column.
Jan Lloyd Mzuoke, 35 years old, gunshot wound to the chest.
We have V. Sialeza, he died at the age of 39. The cause of death unknown.
And of course, Chapi Velonkulu, who we spoke about, died on the 18th of June 1976 as well.
Yeah, and still on Chapi Velonkulu, I think we still need to verify from the board at which age Chapi Velonkulu died. How old was he when Chapi was shot in 1976? We still have to get that. And then we have Juna Liepo, age undisclosed, also died from burned to death by petrol bomb.
Stephen Mabitsa, 58 years old, stab wound in the chest, died during the riots.
Solomon Ramashila, age undisclosed, he died from stabbed to death.
Francis Ntabele, and 17 years old, cause of death unknown.
Jacob Mahapi, age 16, cause of death, died of bullet wounds to lung.
Ezra Mamogobo, 49 years old, head and body injuries.
Amos Mlilo, aged 30, died in police. Police told an inquest court that he could have been a victim of hostile dwellers in Soweto.
David Koloane, 16 years old, gunshot wounds. Police alleged at inquest that he attacked a policeman with an axe.
Petros Mututsane, died at the age of 25, the cause of death, gunshot wound to chest.
Isaac Dumasani Mtaba, 16 years old, cause of death undisclosed.
Joyce Butelezi, age 16, cause of death, shotgun wounds to chest and head when police fired on student at Siakano Ntwana High School.
Melvin N. Domtsa, 46 years old, shot dead.
R.W. Gami, age undisclosed, the cause of death, shot in right shoulder.
N.C. Hlokwane, age unknown, crushed by a bus.
David Lipota, age unknown, the cause of death, undocumented.
P. Madibo, age unknown, shot in the left shoulder.
Dani Maga, age undisclosed, died of bullet wounds.
Risabata Isaac Modukanele, age unknown, shot.
Stephen Mohampi, age unknown, the cause of death unknown.
H.P. Nkuta, age unknown, shot.
Howard Rasmani, died at the age of 31, cause of death, shot at Doringkop Cemetery in Soweto.
J.E. Sabila, 22 years old, shot.
Jeffrey Sturman, died at the age of 44, the cause of death, he was shot dead.
Silulamo Selwyn Talazo, age unknown, cause of death unknown.
Ida Tobejani, age undisclosed, cause of death, bullet wound inflicted on the left shoulder.
M. Wilson, age unknown, shot.
Pesi Makheta died at the age of 15, the cause of death, bullet wound.
Joseph Sitole, 18 years old, gunshot wound to the neck. Alleged he was a leader of a demonstrating group.
Jackson Gishi died at the age of 67. The cause of death, he died under police detention while he was still under investigation.
Joseph Karabu Maloy, 16 years old, a bullet through the stomach.
Jacob Twala died at the age of 18. The cause of death, undocumented.
Cornelius Mokobi, 24 years old, found dead with a shotgun wound in his chest.
Bonagele Kwezala, age unknown, the cause of death, reported missing in December.
Wellington K. Matieni, 21 years old, reported missing as well in December.
Bruce Morolong, age undisclosed, the cause of death, reported missing after the December 1976.
Samuel Mohapi, 4 years old, shot dead.
L.M. Sirube, age unknown, the cause of death, shot through lower region of the body.
Robert Kosa, 15 years old, died of shotgun wounds.
Joseph Clute died at the age of 30, the cause of death, shock, shot in cheek and abdomen from front and in back and neck from behind.
Eliakim Sutu Kambule, 50 years old, multiple injuries to body.
Signe Khate died at the age of 46. The cause of death, he was shot dead.
Leburu Nathaniel, 39 years old, bullet through a spinal cord.
Johannes Madupe, age undisclosed. The cause of death, disappeared during the June 1976 in Harankua. Police have no further records.
Petros Machahula, 49 years old, shot dead.
Titus Mahurawe died at the age of 13. He was shot in the back.
Peter Modise, 60 years old, head injuries.
Muamurani Mukwena died at the age of 14. She was shot, 2 bullets wounds to chest and leg.
Philadelphia Molloy, 17 years old, shot dead.
Herman Motlane, he was 42 years old. The cause of death, bullet wounds through the head.
Eric Nkobo, 16 years old, shot dead.
Prince Moses died at the age of 22, and the cause of death, he was reported in police list as casually not resulting from police action.
Marta Seleke, 30 years old, shot in the abdomen, 9 months pregnant at time of death.
And last but not least, Nora Yoti died at the age of 58, and the cause of death, he was reported missing during the December disturbances. Mami Rimutle, wherever you are, these are the names, the list of all the fallen heroes and the heroines of the 1976 Alex massacre. We pay homage, we pay tribute for them. As we said, these are people who laid their ultimate life to bring about this freedom and democracy that we enjoy in South Africa. Although it's not yet war for South Africans, particularly when it comes to the reconciliation.
We're going to be talking about
it. It's still
that.
A long road to go, indeed. But hopefully we shall reach the promised land.
It is 11:45. We are in a conversation. We ask you to just spare a moment and think about the names of the people and those who have lost their lives, many of whom really before they began. I'm Howard Feldman from Chai FM, and we are joined together for this broadcast by Alex FM Muntu Mbanjwa. We're talking about the 1976 massacre at Alex.
Yep, it is indeed. We are still on the, it's a soulful, it's a youthful Sunday, by the way, and it's a youth month. And thank you so much for tuning in. And in case you have just joined in, we've still got a couple of minutes to go before we have our chance to love and leave you. But of course, you can still engage with us. We've got a couple of minutes to go, and you can engage whatever that's on your mind. You can get in touch with us, and you know our Magic Studio number at LX. It's 011. That's our Magic Studio number, 4013 96. And of course, you can also WhatsApp what's on your mind. Where were you on that faithful day, and what do you make of the 1976 June 18 Alex massacre, which indeed was a turning point for South Africa's politics? So if you'd like to engage with us, whatever that's on your mind, whatever that's on your thoughts, engage with us. Our number, it's 0682129281. And of course, thank you so much for streaming with us on LXFM, www.lxfm.co.za, and we are coming side by side with Chai FM.
And of course, you can also SMS on 34519 or telegram us on 0618951019. Feel free to send your voice notes. You can also call us on 0101 403020. We'll be back just after this.
As a black teacher explains,
it is difficult to imagine, to gauge the depth of feeling. You've got to be black and to live among these kids to realize just how much they hate the imposition of this system called Bantu education. Many of them can quote the words used by Dr. Verwoerd in that fateful debate when he said that there is no reason to educate the black child to the same extent as the white. There is no need to teach a Bantu child mathematics or anything like that when he will never need to use that science of mathematics in his situation.
Will there ever be one man, one vote in South Africa?
No.
Isn't that why you are almost certain to be faced with a bloody war?
No, but there's not one man, one vote anywhere in Africa.
Will there be one man, one vote?
Certainly. That is inevitable. There will be a one man, one vote in this country, and there will be a majority government in this country. But that majority government will accommodate everybody.
Led by
Mandela.
Hasimbonango Mandela jina lape kona lape feli kona.
Hasimbonango
Mandela jina lape kona. La Pefelicona.
Oh, the sea is cold and the sky is gray. Look across the island into the bay. The burning water. Hasimbonanga,
Hasimbonango Mandela jina, lape kona, lape feli kona.
Hasimbonanga.
ethu thina labekona la wafela kona
Victoria Mxenge
hasimbonanga
hasimbonanga
utathi wethu thina labekona la wafela kona
Neil Agut
hasimbonanga
Bonang
umfo wethu thina lape kuna la wafela kuna
awungithi hey wena
hey wena
hey wena
hey wena
nawe
so fika nini la siyakona la siyakona
awungithi hey wena
hey wena
hey wena
hey wena
nawe
so fika nini la siyakona la siyakona
hasibonanga
bonanga
lapekuna
lapeseli kuna
This is Community Connect, commemorating the Alex Student Massacre of 1976.
And that was, of course, Asimbonanga, Johnny Clegg, and Savuka. I'm Howard Feldman from Chai FM, being co-hosted today by Muntu Mbanjwa from Alex FM. And we, of course, are talking about the incidents of 1976. Joining us in studio as our final guest of this morning is Wendy Kahn. And Wendy, you might know or not know, was actually the reason, one of the reasons that we even thought of this broadcast. Wendy's the National Director of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies. Wendy, welcome.
Wow, I am so moved. I've been sitting for 3 hours listening avidly to this broadcast. It honestly has been one of the most moving and meaningful mornings. And I just want to thank all of you because it's really, we have just learned so much. And
yeah,
it's not just learning. It's learning about our heritage.
Absolutely.
My heritage. Mm-hmm. And it's really, thank you so much.
So Wendy, I mentioned before that you were one of the reasons. So you mentioned this to Chai FM CEO Kathy Kaler. What happened? How did this come about?
We met, it's probably about 6 weeks ago, with the MEC of Sports, Arts, Recreation and Culture's office.
Wow.
And also with the Alex Heritage Council.
Right.
And they came in here.
Right.
And they wanted to discuss with us ways that we could cooperate and ways that we as two communities who live very close to one
Absolutely.
Another and are so meshed in each other's lives,
yeah.
how could we find ways to partner and to cooperate? And one of the men, Lucky, from the Heritage Council started telling us the story about the Alex Massacre. And I sat there with my mouth hanging open.
Oh, because you had no idea.
Because I like to think that I'm somebody who understands the history of this country. And somebody who's very aware of what went on in this country, and I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea. We all thought that the Soweto uprising started and ended in Soweto, and it didn't. I was absolutely shattered, you know, that here I've been going to commemorations in Sharpeville and Boipatong, and I take our learners, as you know. Recently, we went on June 16th. I took a whole lot of student leaders through to Soweto to commemorate the Soweto uprising, but we didn't know about the Alex uprising, which was just down the road.
Yeah,
correct.
Just 1 square mile.
So that really, it was sobering for me. And straight away, we said, this is something something we have to do. We have to get together and we have to do it. And we wanted to have an in-person commemoration on the 18th, but unfortunately it was on Saturday, and because of our Sabbath we couldn't do it, and please God, next year we'll be able to do it. But we didn't want to give up this opportunity. We wanted our community, the Jewish community, particularly in this country, to understand what happened. And I think maybe there are people in Alex who also didn't understand, and certainly other people in our country. And we wanted our eyes to be opened. We wanted to understand what exactly happened. And you could not have done a better job than you all did today.
Well, that was a well done to Kathy
Because,
Kano,
and also the collaboration between these two important community radio stations. And that's what we have to be looking for in this country, ways that we can collaborate and share where we come from and who we are. And that's, for me, just been the most uplifting and inspirational experience today. So thank you.
That's absolutely awesome. Wendy Khan, the National Director of the Sarokin Jewish Board of Deputies. Before we bounce out of the studio, Wendy, what would be your parting shot, your last message to the people of South Africa out there who are listening to the show right now? What would be your parting shot, your message?
My message is we have to learn. We have to learn, we have to understand, and we have to share. We have to share our experiences, but also we have to create new memories between all our communities. And that's what we want to do. And we're putting it out from our community to the people of Alex. Let's work together and let's find ways that we can build our country.
Absolutely. There you have it. That's Mrs. Wendy Khan, the National Director of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies. Wendy, I must really say thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure for having you on the show, taking time to chat to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Unfortunately, just like that, these 3 hours are done, and I can't believe where the time went. It was an eye-opener for me. It was an incredibly moving experience. It was a privilege to be sharing the studio with Umuntu Mbanjwa from Alex FM. Thank you for everything.
Absolutely. I must really say, before we bounce out of here, because this is indeed our chance to love and leave our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we're going to say to them, before we love and leave you, make sure that you live, learn, and love. That's our message. Live,
learn, and love. Absolutely.
I must really say to all our listeners out there, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time, and thank you so much for choosing us, and thank you so much for streaming with us on LXFM, www.lxfm.co.za. And of course, I must really say thank you very much to all our guests who've been to our show. Thank you very much to Mr. Noah Sito there for coming through, and of course to Dakira Metsi for taking time to talk to us, and Jimmy Masingi there from the Vilamkulu Trust for taking time to talk to us, and all other listeners, and of course to all the people who took time
to Craig too for controlling this morning, for Senna for all of the hard work, to Kathy Kayla. We're going to leave you
there
with this, because no better way to leave you this morning. Have a fantastic day.
Until next time, God bless. It's have yourself a splendid Sunday. Until next time, God bless you. Take care. Bye
bye. So yetu nkosi sikelela thina lusapho lwayo murena buluka sitshaba sa Yesu Ufredi serintwa lima swenye ho si buluke Usi buluke si chabasa Yesu si chabasa South Africa South Africa A diploma from Nonce, Yemen. A diploma from Nonce, Yemen. Wobans, Yemen.
onward here, sounds they call to come together, and united we shall stand. Let us live in strength for freedom in South Africa.
High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.